I want you to look, if you would, please, in the little book of Jude and verse number 21. The little book of Jude, verse 21. Now, the Bible said here, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And he said, and some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now I'm glad for that verse. Amen. Thank God I'm not the one that's trying to keep me saved. I've got one bigger. Amen. Amen. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I will preach to you this morning on the subject, beloved, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for these public servants that give up their time and their energy. Lord, even they lay their life on the line for us on a daily basis. Father, thank you for our military, many today serving you on the foreign fields. Lord, they're dodging the bullets and dodging the bombs so that we might be able to have the freedom that we enjoy, that we might be able to salute the flag and enjoy the blessings that we have in this country. Lord, thank you for them. Father, thank you today for those that we want to remember today. Many gave their lives 10 years ago for somebody else. They rushed into a burning building trying to save someone from death. Lord, thank you for those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. And then, Lord, I thank you today that you've allowed us to come one more time to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, I know today that I can do nothing in my flesh. God, I can accomplish nothing unless the Holy Ghost of God comes and empowers me. And I thank you, Lord, that for the touch of God. And I pray now that everyone listening to this voice of this preacher, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God do a work in their hearts. Lord, for that one today that's cold and indifferent on God, may they come back. That one today that's lost without Christ, I pray that you draw them back to and save them for Jesus' sake. And Lord, all that you do, we'll be careful to praise you. We'll honor you. We'll glorify your precious name, for you are worthy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, thank you, ma'am. I had a message to give you this morning. Betty Crouch called, and I told Vicki, I said, if I forget it, you wave at me. Betty Crouch called and said she'd tell everybody she loved us and she missed us. And I know there's other folk today that would love to be sitting where you're sitting today. But because of health, they can't be here. And I thank Brother Nathan, Sister Bonnie, and you pray for them. Amen. But thank God that thank God for these folk. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I wrestled about this message today, Brother Jimmy. I don't know if you've ever. I'm sure you have. I've tried to find the mind of the Lord, Brother Steve, and I've tried to figure out what God wants me to preach, and I wrestled with that all this week. I was in the camp meeting this week, and I heard some great preaching, and I said, Lord, what would you have me to preach on? And I first thought about something having to do with heaven. And that would be a great subject to preach about. Amen. That eternal home, that home in heaven, that place of reunion, refreshment, where the roll book is, and where one day our Savior will call us and we'll go up to meet him and see our loved ones, and that'd be a great message. But that wasn't what God wanted me to preach. And I said, Lord, well, what do you want me to preach? And so I thought God wanted me to preach something about the Lamb of God. And so I studied and worked and prayed and I was planning on preaching that until yesterday morning. And yesterday I left Coach, North Carolina, early in the morning and come back, and I pulled up here, and the ladies are out here trying to finish up their yard sale. And I come on into church house, and I asked Brandy, and I asked little Josie Goodson, I said, would y'all help me to put this little flyer together, put this bulletin together? And so they helped me. And we was running these off, Brother Jimmy. And so we were sitting there at the desk back yonder. And I looked at the picture there, and it said, "We remember." And I asked Brandy, I said, "Brandy, where were you at 10 years ago?" She said, "I was in fourth grade." And she began to tell, I said, "Did they tell you about what happened?" She said, "Yeah, they told me, the teacher turned the TV on, and they told me what happened." I looked over at Josie, I said, "Josie, how old are you?" She said, 8 years old. And I said, "Josie," I said, "these two buildings right here, 10 years ago, there's some evil people. They took two airplanes and they threw them into those buildings right there. And they killed a lot of people." And she said, "Brother Jim," she said, "were they part of Bin Laden's men?" I said, "Yes, it was." "Brother Steve, I'm glad still somebody remembers. I'm glad somebody still cares." And I began to tell her just a little bit of the story about those buildings. And I would imagine that day, I remember where I was at. You probably remember where you was at that day. I remember I was working in a school at that time. And I remember that morning the principal called me and the other assistant principal in and said, "Here's what's happening." We thought it'd be wise not to try to tell the kids at that point. But I remember that morning at, what was it, 8:49, when that tragedy struck America. I would imagine, my friend, that morning started out like any other morning. It started out probably like your morning did today. I would imagine that morning that many of those people got up that morning and they got dressed, they got ready for work, and there's probably a lot of moms and dads, Brother Steve. That morning they kissed their little ones goodbye and they said, "I'll see you when you get off the school bus this afternoon. We're going to have spaghetti for supper." But that was the last time they ever saw it. I'm sure that there was a lot of businessmen on those airplanes that were headed to a conference somewhere, and they had all their papers and had all the things that they were going to discuss in a business meeting perhaps, and yet, my friend, they never made it to that business meeting. I'm sure those airline attendants, they got up that morning, they said, "Just one more trip." Maybe they were looking forward to being able to spend some time with their family. Maybe they've been gone for a while. I don't know, but I believe it was like any other morning. I believe it was like any other morning that you get up, you put your clothes on, and you get in your car and you go down to work, and you go through work, go through school, and you figure, hey, this is just any other day, and then 5 more days, and there's the weekend, and another week, and another month, and another year, and it just kind of goes on and on and on and on. Nobody ever gives any thought that it could be the last day that you're on this planet Earth. And beloved, as I began to think and I began to ponder about that, the Lord called to my memory this verse right here. And I read that, and it said there in verse number 23, "And some others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." My friend, no one that morning of September the 11th expected to die, but they died. Many of them did. Not to bore you with statistics and not to try to, you've heard all the statistics before, but my friend, some almost 3,000 people perished that fateful day in America. I read some of this, and I'm not going to bore you with reading those statistics off, but as I read some of that, I can only imagine what the calamity and all the fear and excitement they say, and what I've read that some folks, when the fire began to rage and fire began to burn, instead of being wanting to be burned up, they jumped out of those buildings. And they landed even on other people down below, killing themselves in the well as other folk. And I could almost imagine and almost see that these brave firefighters and brave policemen and port authority workers, as they tried to help people, and they rushed in that morning and they tried to grab them and tried to pull them out of the flames, that they said, "I got to save this person. Even if it costs me my life, I'm going to save them." And yet, my friend, they perished also. And I began to think and I began to ponder, and the Bible says here, watch this verse, verse 23. And here's the message. It's not going to be long. But here's in verse 23, and others. 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 These public servants, you know why they do what they do? For others. They don't do it for themselves. They do it for others. They risk their lives for you, for me. Others. Many, many years ago, the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, was in England. And it came time for Christmas. Marconi had just invented the telegraph system. It was still new, and it was very costly. And they charged you by each letter that you sent. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, wanted to send a message to America, to the folk in the Salvation Army in America. When they received that telegram from William Booth, here's what it said. O-T-H-E-R-S. One word. Others. Others. And beloved, as I began to think about that, my mind went back to Calvary. My mind went back to the cross. For on the cross, Jesus was concerned about others. Amen. Jesus on the cross gave his life for others. Others. My mind went over there, and I want to share that with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'll give you two or three thoughts, and then we're going to head out and do the memorial service. Matthew 27:42 says, you want to look at that? He saved others. The crowd cried that day. He saved others. He himself, he cannot save. He saved others. And friend, may I say to you this morning, is that the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus loves others. He loves you. He loves sinners. He loves everybody in this room. Red, yellow, black, white, rich or poor, he loves you today. And I read that, and I believe on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus in the last few ebbing minutes of his life, he was still thinking about others. He was still caring for others. I'm going to give you three thoughts. Number one, on the cross, he died for others. On the cross, he died caring for others. John 19:27 says, as the Lord Jesus hung there on Calvary, suspended between heaven and earth, there beneath the cross, the disciples had fled. Peter was not to be found. No other disciple was to be found. All but one, John, stood beneath the cross. All the multitude was gone. All those that had eaten of the loaves and fishes were gone. All the crowd, the lame man was gone. The blind man that his eyes is open, he was gone. There was nobody there. Nobody there. Nobody there except Jesus' mother and John and Mary. And Jesus from the cross looked down and he said, woman, behold thy son. When he spoke those words, he was looking at John and he was saying to John, John, take Mary now and care for her as you would your own mother. Friend, thank God for a good mom. Amen. Brother Jimmy, you got one of the best ones there is. Amen. I had one of the best ones there was. Every Sunday morning, regardless of where I was, if I was preaching, she's sitting where Brother James was. Brother Steve, it'd take her all day Saturday to try to get ready. She had arthritis. She hurt. But she got enough courage up and enough grit up that she'd get in that car with Daddy. And regardless of where I was, if I was in Burlington, if I was in Hillsboro, she'd come hear her boy preach. Thank God for a mother. And my friend, I want to tell you something this morning. Oh, listen, we've done an injustice a lot of times when folk get a little age on them, they start to slow down, and all of a sudden we just want to push them out of the way. Honey, I want to let you know something. Thank God for some dedicated saints of God that's laid the foundation and fought the battles, have prayed through the endless hours, and through blood, sweat, and tears, have forged something that we can hold on today and carry on and give to our children and grandchildren. Thank God for them today. Thank God for Sister Bobby and Lynn Jessup back on the back row. Amen. This is the first time she's been able to be in church in months. Between the two of them, one of them get in the hospital and break a leg and have a surgery, and then the other one get out, and they've just been swapping back and forth. And I thank God that they made it here today. Amen. Care for others. Number two, quickly. When Jesus died on the cross, he died loving others. Luke chapter number 23, verse 24 said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In the hour that he was dying on the cross, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He cried for forgiveness for you and for me. You see, my friend, it was your sin and my sin that nailed him to a cross. It was our sin that hung him on the cross. It was our iniquities. He was bruised for our sins. He was chastened for our sins and iniquities. He was hung on the cross because of what we had done. You say, "Preacher, I wasn't even born yet." The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a person in here that's good enough to go to heaven. But thank God Jesus hung on the cross, shed his precious blood, and paid a debt that he didn't owe so you could be saved. Amen. He died loving others. You know, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. It's easy to love somebody that loves you back. I hear people all the time say, "Preacher, you know, I love them because they love me." But beloved, may I remind you that Jesus loved us, and while we were unlovable, he loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He loved the unlovable. Oh, listen, no matter where you're at in your life or what you have done, God still loves you. He loves you with an unending love. Oh, it's hard sometimes to love some folk. But honey, I got news for you today that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he died loving others, and he shed his blood for others. He was wounded for you. He hung there in agony and shame and nakedness because he loved you so much. And he doesn't want you to go to hell. The Bible said in Romans 5:7, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I wouldn't take a show of hands this morning, but I would ask you if perchance, Brother Jimmy, I hadn't seen your moment right now. But the little girl, what was it? Little Anthony girl, is that right? Help me out. Casey Anthony, is that right? Kaylee Anthony. If for some reason this morning, her mother, and I know the court system said not guilty, but God knows who did it, amen? And I'm not trying to get on the soapbox, but I'm going to use this illustration. If by chance that they said, "Brother Steve, this woman is going to die unless somebody steps in and gives some blood. She's going to die unless she gets a transfusion, and we need some blood. You've got the same blood type. And Jimmy, you got the same blood type. How about y'all coming over and giving her a pint of blood?" I would dare say that some of you'd say, "Let her die. Let her die." But friend, I got news for you. While we were wicked and vile and sinful, the Lord Jesus loved us. We didn't love him, but he loved us so much he was willing to give not a pint of his blood, but to give all of his blood so that we could be saved. He died caring for others. He died loving others. Number three, and here's the last one, he died saving others. Oh, there were three men crucified on the cross that day. Three men on three crosses. One man died in sin. One man, the unrepentant thief, looked over and with accusation and with, I believe he just, all that hatred and all that animosity, he looked over and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross, save thyself and save us also." I want to tell you something, I'm glad he didn't come down. Had he come down, you and I would be lost and on our way to hell. But he hung on the cross, he died all alone for you and for me. But that unrepentant thief, he died in his sin. And friend, I got news for you. If you die in your sin, there's no other place to go but into hell. There's no other place to go but in the regions of those that are without Christ today, the lost. My friend, don't die without Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior. Don't die like that old thief died. He died in sin. Number two, the second man was dying on the cross that day. He was dying for sin. That was Jesus. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. But thank God he paid it for me. He went to the cross and paid my sin debt. All of my ungodliness, all my unrighteousness, all my filthiness was laid on Jesus. He was beaten for me. He was stricken for me. He was bruised for me. He gave his life for me. And he died for me. One man dying for sin. But then the last man, there's a man dying to sin. That thief, other thief looked at him that day and he said, "Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom, would you please remember me?" You know what I believe he was asking? I believe he was asking this, Brother Steve. I believe he was saying, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, could I be just a slave? Could I just go get you some water? Could I wipe your feet? I'll just be happy to be a slave in your kingdom. I'll do anything." And Jesus looked over at him and he said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Amen. He said, "I'm willing to be just an old slave. I'm willing just to haul water. I'm willing just to do anything. I'm willing to do anything in the kingdom. But oh no, not a slave. Thank God he took me from being a slave and made me a son and an heir and joint heirs with Jesus." Amen. He'll do the same for you. And some have compassion, making a difference. And they rush in. And they rush in. And they grab them. And they say, "You got to get out of here. You're going to die. This place is on fire. It's going to burn up. You're going to die. Come on, let's get out of here." And friend, I got news for you. Everything you see around us, one of these days, Brother Jim, is going to be burned up, ain't it? I believe this, my friend. You read the book. He's coming back. He judged this old world one time by water. The second time, he's going to judge it by fire. And that automobile you drive out yonder, one of these days, she's going to be burned up. Amen. Well, that house you live in, one of these days, she's going to be burned up. But friend, I got news for you. When that day comes, hallelujah to God, I'll be walking down the celestial streets of glory. I'll be breathing my first breath of celestial air. I'll be going by and visiting mom, dad, and sister, and loved ones, uncles, and ones that I hadn't seen in a long time. Thank God there's a promise of heaven. If you know him, he died for others. He died saving others. He died caring for others. How about you this morning? Will you bow your heads, please?